This is Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Podcast for now is Comfort and Race and Sex Inequality. I always shake my head at the so-called friend argument used by people who want to claim that knowledge about and or sympathy with a group by referring to their, quote, friends belonging to this group. It is commonly used to absolve oneself from suspicion of racism, homophobia, or other kinds of prejudice. It is particularly a form of the not prejudice but statement, and that's what brings me to the topic of this podcast. Racism and homophobia and, quote, being nice to allow for comfort. That's the concept. Let's start with racism. Let's focus on the black and white interactions in our lives. I think these conversations are critical because, by virtually every measure, racial inequality persists and institutions continue to be overwhelmingly controlled by white people. As a white man, I could see myself as not racist, but realize that our society continues to reproduce racist outcomes and propagate segregated life. So what do white folks do when they try to answer the question, quote, how has your life been shaped by your race? This is rarely a difficult question for people of color, but most white participants are unable to answer. This inability is not innocent, suggesting that whiteness has no meaning creates an alienating, even hostile climate for people of color working and living in a predominantly white environment, and it does so in several ways. To be white should lead to an understanding of what it means not to be white. To be a white man may mean I'm unable to affirm an alternate racial experience. I will lack the critical thinking and skills to navigate racial tensions in constructive ways. This creates a culture in which white people assume that niceness is the answer to racial inequality, and people of color are required to maintain white comfort in order to survive. I don't mean to dish on younger white people, for example, who have been raised according to an ideology of colorblindness, but perhaps they have not honed their ability to grapple with racial dynamics with any nuance or complexity. They may be shocked when their colleagues of color testify powerfully to the many open and covert slights and indignities they endure. This may be followed by a white person talking about friends and colleagues to suggest to their own niceness to race. We thought that we had a post-racial society during the Obama years, but this has been denied by our current political reality, such that some white people conceptualize racism as isolated and individual acts of intentional meanness rather than a systemic problem. This definition is convenient and it's comforting in that it exempts so many white people from the system of white supremacy we live in and are shaped by. This defense leads to the idea that nice people cannot be racist. Maybe they say that their friends volunteer at a non-profit group helping people at the margin. Not meaning to be a racist, but also allows for absolution. Thus, niceness may involve a light tone of voice, smiling, compliments on her or style, knowing people from other community. Niceness in that case is fleeting and hollow. In addition to niceness, proximity is seen as an evidence of lack of racism, and the expression, quote, I work in a diverse environment, unquote, or, quote, I know people of color, doesn't hack it. These attempts are not derived from a shared experience. Most white people live segregated lives, and in fact have no lasting cross-racial relationships. They are in the position to choose segregation, and often do. But the deception of niceness adds a confusing layer that makes it difficult for people of color to decipher trustworthy allies from disingenuous white liberalism. We can reproduce racial inequality when white people to be really nice and carry on to smile at people of color, to go to lunch with them on occasion. Being nice is generally a better policy than being mean. But niceness does not bring racism to the table. This white fragility should be replaced by acknowledging ourselves as racial beings with a particular and limited perspective on race. We need authentic interactions rather than social media posts. We can insist that racism be discussed in our workplace and our commitment to racial equity be demonstrated by actual outcomes. We can get involved in organizations working for racial justice, such as the National Association of Black and White Men Together. And now to the second thread of this podcast, comfort and sex inequality. We live in a homophobic environment where overt and covert sex prejudice exists. These, for example, are microaggressions, are many small ways in which minorities are reminded of their inferiority by the dominant culture, and can lead to depression or poor health outcomes for those on the receiving end. The offences can be overtly rude, for example, asking a lesbian, "Have you ever had real sex?" It can be innocent mistakes, like addressing an androgynous-looking person with a, quote, wrong pronoun. We need to teach more people about these microaggressions in order to educate people about how hurtful microaggressions are and how they can negatively affect people's lives. And another way could be to show that self-esteem can act as a protective mechanism from the harm. A confident, comfortably out LGBTQ individual is unlikely to experience much stress from being the object of honest curiosity or innocent mistakes. And we must provide robust, queer-friendly social networks and organizations such as the NABWMT together, which foster a secure sense of themselves both within the queer community and the culture at large. So, just like the comments on being nice to racial minorities, the same holds for queer people. You may not have the experience of the LGBTQ community, but have authentic interactions, not nice ones. Make sure sexual injustice is discussed in our workplaces, and a commitment to sexual and racial equity brings true and fair outcomes. This was Ken Barron with the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Thank you for listening. You can listen to more podcasts and look on our national website, nabwmt.org. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're on Instagram. Thank you for listening.